Stay tuned now for Edward R. Murrow with the news, presented by Hams, the beer refreshing. Hams is the beer that looks refreshing, dancing gold in your glass, tastes refreshing, crisp and clean cut with smoothness aged in. Yes, Hams is the beer that captures for you the refreshing enchantment of the land it comes from, the land of sky blue waters. When you're dry and thirsty, ask for Hams. H-A-M-M-S. Hams, refreshingly yours from the land of sky blue waters. And now, Edward R. Murrow.
This is the news. The president said today that we are ready now, as always, to sit down with the Russians and work out a plan to stop rearming and secure the peace. In a speech at Wake Forest College in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, Mr. Truman made two things clear. Any conversations we have with the Russians on freeing the world from the scourge of atomic warfare must take place in the presence of all United Nations members. And secondly, he doesn't think anything would come of such conversations until the free world completes its rearmament program. He believes the chances of negotiating successfully with Russia will increase as our defense improves. The president pointed out that long before Russia had the atomic bomb, we offered the United Nations a plan for the international control of atomic energy. In a letter to the American Legion Convention at Miami, Mr. Truman said we must lose no time in passing a universal military training law. The national security will require us to keep strong defensive forces for many years. Mr. Truman feels that universal military training is the only way to keep strong, well-trained, well-equipped reserves. Defense Secretary Leavitt and Assistant Secretary Rosenberg also called for passage of a UMT law. And Mr. Leavitt again warned us, we don't have magic weapons to win wars quickly. I'd like to examine this phase of his remarks in a few minutes. In Korea today, our troops made good progress on the Eastern Front, ran into heavier enemy artillery on the Western Front, and made new gains in the center. Here, in 3 days, we've captured 29 hills, moved ahead a total of 5 miles. We are now within easy artillery range of the enemy base at Kum Song, which is 30 miles north of the 38th parallel. Allied and enemy liaison negotiators will try to work out terms for a new armistice conference a few minutes from now, at roughly 10 o'clock in the morning, Korean time. The stumbling block is the enemy's insistence on extending the neutral area surrounding Kaesong. We want a smaller neutral area around Panmunjom, the site of the new conferences. General Ridgway has apologized to the communists for the death of a North Korean boy. We acknowledge that 3 of our planes strafed the area between the old and new armistice conference sites. Iran's Premier Mossadegh made his plea to the United Nations Security Council today. He told the council it has no power to intervene in the Anglo-Iranian oil dispute. He called it a strictly internal matter. He said Iran will not be coerced. We'll resume negotiations with the British on only 2 points. Compensation for the former British oil company and the matter of selling oil to the British. Mossadegh revealed that he has turned down a Soviet offer to form a new Russian-Iranian oil company. And he said his country faces disintegration because the shutting down of the big refinery at Abadan has brought poverty and unemployment to his people. The aged premier read part of his speech and then let an aide finish it for him. Sir Gladwin Jebb, the British delegate, offered a watered-down resolution. It merely calls on both sides to resume negotiations, drops any condemnation of Iran. Sir Gladwin said his country does not wish to do anything contrary to the duties of a loyal United Nations member. The council meets again tomorrow afternoon. In Cairo today, the Egyptian parliament unanimously approved legislation to cancel a treaty which permits British troops in the Suez Canal zone. The Egyptian parliament also voted to end the joint management with Britain of the Sudan. Parliament would have Egypt take over the 1 million square miles and 8 million people of the Sudan. British official sources say their troops will remain in Suez, and they'll continue the joint management of the Sudan by force today Egypt also turned down a Western proposal designed to solve Egypt's agitation over the presence of British troops in Suez. We proposed that the United States, Britain, France, Turkey, and Egypt organize a Middle East command and be responsible together for Suez and Sudan. Despite Egypt's rejection, an American official says the Western nations intend to go ahead with the formation of a Middle East command. In London today, Winston Churchill, continuing his election campaign, called on the voters to make one of the most momentous choices in British history, between two ways of life. He charged that the Labour government has failed in every field in its 6 years in office. He said the government's attitude towards the United States has been to take everything they can get. In Switzerland today, a 23-year-old American, Charles Davis of Texas, defended himself against charges of espionage under the Swiss law. Davis told a court he spied on American diplomats in Switzerland for Senator Joseph McCarthy. He said he was hired by a McCarthy agent who paid him small sums. He acknowledged faking a telegram to John Carter Vincent, then our minister in Bern, attempting to compromise Vincent. In Washington, Senator McCarthy said Davis was never hired by me or for me. A Senate subcommittee has decided to vote tomorrow on whether or not to confirm the president's appointment of Philip Jessop to be a member of our United Nations delegation. Today, the committee heard again from Harold Stassen. He conceded that it is now clear that Mr. Jessop did not attend a 1949 White House conference. Mr. Stassen previously insisted Mr. Jessop did attend that conference, at which cutting off aid to nationalist China was discussed. Mr. Stassen today said again that Mr. Jessop helped formulate our China policy at that time. Mr. Jessop, by mail, said he did not attend the questioned conference and took no part in discussions leading up to the China policy at this time. The government said today that prices will soon go up on many items which contain lead and zinc. Items such as batteries, lead pipe, cables, wire, and all galvanized products. And the Maritime Administration has ordered work suspended on 14 of the 35 ships it was building because of the steel shortage. In Detroit, Senator Taft said tonight the next presidential election will be the most crucial in our times. He said the administration has no intelligent program, changes its plans from day to day in its efforts to halt the spread of communism. Here in New York, James J. Moran, deputy fire commissioner under former Mayor O'Dwyer, was indicted on charges of running a $500,000-a-year shakedown from persons who wanted to install fuel oil burners and storage tanks. Moran has pleaded not guilty. He's already under sentence of 5 years in jail for lying to the Senate Crime Committee. Secretary of Defense Lovett did his best today to simmer down some of the talk about new, fantastic, and incredible weapons. He was speaking to the American Legion Convention in Miami. It was his first public appearance as Secretary of Defense. What he said, in essence, was that our army could not hold 1 mile of front in Korea with these new super weapons. He said that until these new weapons had been tested, proved, and are available for field use, our national safety must depend on improved orthodox weapons in quantities and men well trained to handle them. Mr. Lovett said that we are determined to have these new weapons first and in greater quantity than any potential enemy. There is, he said, no prize for the runner-up. He said that there is not one person, civilian or military, in the Department of Defense who would not consider himself a criminal if he felt that a single American had lost his life because we willfully failed to authorize the use of equipment that would have kept him alive. Mr. Lovett also said that our military budget for 1952 and 1953 includes money enough to produce all the atomic weapons that we can physically produce in the course of the next 2 years. The Secretary of Defense was obviously trying to damp down some of the enthusiasm and optimism created by recent speeches made by Chairman Dean of the Atomic Energy Commission and by Senator Brian McMahon. Senator Dick Russell of Georgia, chairman of the Armed Services Committee, agreed with Lovett, saying that practically all of our so-called fantastic weapons are still in the planning stage, Both Lovett and Russell were saying, in effect, that the Atom spokesman had been unduly enthusiastic. Both men must have weighed the possibility of contributing information to the enemy against what they regard as the exaggerated hopes and expectations of the immediate availability of atomic weapons. And both men, while expressing confidence in the future of developing these weapons, decided to tell us that so far as Korea is concerned, the war will have to be fought in the old-fashioned way with the old-fashioned weapons. Late this afternoon, the State Department belatedly decided to call a Russian bluff. For months, their puppets in East Germany have been hammering on the theme of German unity. National elections for all of Germany to establish a government for the whole country. This has great appeal for all Germans. It has long been apparent that the Russians could not risk a free and open election because they would lose it, and in so doing, would lose East German industry, coal, uranium, and their military bases. But for months, the West had permitted them to monopolize the universally attractive plea of unity. Today, the State Department said that we would support the creation of a United Nations Commission, which would investigate whether national elections in all of Germany are possible. The West German government has made its conditions for a national election. It must be supervised by a neutral international commission. There must be freedom to travel, to speak, and to publish in both zones. There must be guarantees against reprisals for those who vote against the communists in the eastern zone. The Russians and their East German satellites can never accept these terms. And so we have here an opportunity, if it is exploited, to capture from the communists the slogan of unity for Germany. Germany will probably in due course be united or destroyed. This is our opportunity to be for unity even more than the Russians, and on terms acceptable to the West German government. Here is a chance to call the communist bluff and hoist them on their own slogans and symbols. This is Ed Morrow. I'll be back in a moment with the word for today.
I think I'll call this ladies' night because I want to discuss that certain man in your life. When he comes home after a hard day and settles down in his favorite easy chair for a while before dinner, here's a nice little touch that'll help let him know you're glad he's home. Just quietly place a tall, frosty bottle of Ham's beer within easy reach. He'll think you're more wonderful than ever, because there's nothing like a bottle of Ham's for making that early evening take-it-easy time a memorable part of his day. Right then, when a husband's apt to be more critical and looking for something extra special in the way of refreshment, Ham's beer rises superbly to the occasion. For Ham's is the one beer among the top handful of America's finest that has such a wonderfully crisp and clean-cut taste with smoothness aged in. It's an extra refreshing flavor captured in the land of sky-blue waters. Remember now, make it Ham's. His kind of beer for the end of the day. Ham's beer, refreshingly yours from the land of sky-blue waters. And that...
We are now contesting with the Russians regarding the terms upon which Germany can be unified. We ought to be able to illuminate for the East Germans the conditions under which the West German government and the Western Allies are prepared to hold a general election to unify the whole country. The effort may well be futile. It probably will be. But Napoleon once said, "'Tis a principle of war that when you can use the lightning, 'tis better than the cannon." Good night and good luck.
Tune in again tomorrow night for Edward R. Murrow and the News, brought to you by the Ham Brewing Company of St. Paul, Minnesota. Tonight, reach for a bottle of Ham's beer, the beer with the crisp, clean-cut flavor all its own. It's truly America's most refreshing beer from the land of sky-blue waters, enchanted land of cool refreshment. Ask for Ham's beer tonight.
Listen tomorrow. Fahey Flynn speaking. This is the CBS Radio Network.